Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
What a great privilege it is to meet every Lord's Day and at other times to sing the praises of our Heavenly Father. Did you know that the author of Hebrews speaks of our singing and our praying as being sacrifices of praise? By Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Hebrews 13:15. Our singing as our sacrifice of praise to God rules out using mechanical instruments of music in worship. Our sacrifice is to be the fruit of our lips. Would that not also eliminate counting the rosary as a substitute for prayer? Both are contrary to Scripture. Paul commanded his Colossian brothers and sisters, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Colossians 3:16. Singing should be spiritually and even emotionally uplifting and fulfilling. In fact, many of the songs in some churches seem to be designed to be nothing more than an appeal to the senses of the worshipers. But our songs must teach and admonish. Both words, teaching and admonishing, are reflexive. That means the song should be mutually edifying. There is no room in Scripture to have one group, a soloist, or a duet, or a quartet, or a choir, to entertain an audience of worshipers. We are to teach and admonish one another. Since song should teach those who attend worship services, it is important to examine the songs to see if their messages harmonize with Scripture. For example, one popular song in many churches has the title, "Jesus is Coming Soon," by R.E. Winsett. How do we know Jesus is coming soon? The second stanza of the song explains, "Love of so many cold, losing their home of gold, this in God's word is told, evils abound. When these signs come to pass, it will come very fast, trumpets will sound." There is a very serious problem with the teaching of that verse. There are no signs of the Lord's coming. But what about the signs mentioned in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21? Those signs point to the destruction of Jerusalem. But of that day and that hour, no man knows. No, not the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36. If there are signs that point to the Lord's second coming, are we not intelligent enough to read those signs and to know when the Lord will come? I repeat what the Lord Himself said, "No man knows." Paul used three different terms to describe our singing: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I know the meaning of the Greek words Paul used, but I have no idea how to distinguish one kind of song from another. The psalms were almost certainly some of the psalms of the Old Testament. We use many songs in worship services of churches of Christ that are based directly on the book of Psalms. For example, "Hallelujah, praise Jehovah," comes almost verbatim from Psalm 134. Were there other psalms the early church used in its worship? We have no way of knowing, but that could have been the case. Our word "hymns" comes directly from the Greek word "hymnos," which is used in this verse. The expression "spiritual songs" has been interpreted to mean songs with a rather rapid tempo, like many of the Negro spirituals. But there is no way, in my judgment, to make a hard and fast distinction among these types of songs that Paul mentioned. All of our songs must harmonize with Scripture. We're no more justified in teaching error in our singing than we are in teaching error from the pulpit or in our Bible classes. Our singing must come from our hearts and be directed to the one we worship, God Almighty, not to our neighbors and friends. And we must sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. The church of our Lord is not in the entertaining business. Thank you, and may God bless you.